student speaker is Igor Lachin, and he will be talking about the effects of eucalyptus litter on benthic macroinvertebrates. And after his talk, there'll be a short break, and then we'll reconvene at 5 o'clock for the faculty panel.
Thank you, Becca. And one last time today, thank you all for sticking around. That's the last time you'll hear this today. Eucalyptus. The problem with studying eucalyptus is that everyone knows how bad eucalyptus is. These are comments from a reviewer. I submitted a grant for this study, and you can probably guess what happened. But I hate to disappoint the reviewer. What we found was that, in fact, repairing eucalyptus in small patches has very limited effects, and they are pretty much overwhelmed by effects of other environmental factors. So I'll walk you through our study, but conceptually we're talking about a similar setup as Matt was, which is small streams energetically dependent on the input of terrestrial litter, plant material, most of which comes from the riparian zone, from the trees right next to the stream. And this plant litter is used, just to repeat, as food or as habitat by aquatic insects. And if we clear the riparian zone, if we remove the vegetation and replace it with, let's say, agriculture, there will be changes in aquatic insect community. What's less clear is what happens if we simply change the species composition of the riparian vegetation. So if we replace, for instance, native trees with eucalyptus, and that's the question in my study. What happens when native riparian vegetation is replaced in small patches by riparian eucalyptus? In order to get at this, we need to monitor two things. One is leaf litter, and both the litter that's coming down from the riparian trees and litter that's found in the stream. And we want to evaluate that litter that's in the stream in the so-called natural leaf bags, because it might have been transported from upstream. Then after that, we want to monitor aquatic insects, both those that are just found in the stream naturally, the residents, and those that colonize substrate that we provide them. And we'll give them these litter bags, native litter bag and eucalyptus litter bag. So the study sites are three small creeks in the Bay Area, so they're right around the corner: Miller Creek, Pinole Creek, and Wildcat Creek. And Wildcat is just literally over the hill. There are two sites on each stream. There is a native site, and somewhere a little bit upstream from it, there is a eucalyptus site. And the eucalyptus site is simply a patch of riparian eucalyptus about 50 meters in length if you measure along the stream. And they're pretty much pure stands of eucalyptus. Let me show you what the creeks look like. This is Miller Creek, which is smallest. You can just step right over it. This is Pinole Creek. It's maybe about 1 meter wide. You can jump over it, but you land in a pile of trash, so you should watch where you step. We'll come back to this. And finally, we have Wildcat Creek, about 2 meters wide at this point, in Wildcat Canyon Park, the biggest of the three. Each study site includes these four litter collectors, which I'll show you in a minute, that just collect litter coming from the trees. And they include litter bags, like so, submerged in the water. And we'll also take a couple of samples of resident macroinvertebrates. So here is a typical litter trap collecting the leaves. Here is a typical natural leaf pack. So this is just leaves that have accumulated in the stream, and I'm lifting them out of the water using a net. And we'll get two things out of this. We'll get the in-stream litter composition, which, remember, could have come from upstream, and we'll get the macroinvertebrates, the aquatic insects. The other half of our resident macroinvertebrates will come from these high velocity areas. This is a typical riffle. So that's our resident insects. For our colonization experiment, we'll prepare these litter bags, two kinds, native and eucalyptus, and you can see the recipes that I used in both of those bags. And we'll put them in the stream like so. Here are the bags in action, so to speak. And we'll leave them in the stream for 28 days, 56 days, or 90 days to monitor the progression of colonization. And we'll repeat the whole experiment three times, in winter, in spring, and in fall, because different insects might be active different times of the year. So let me walk you through the results. Again, we'll start with litter, and we'll move on to aquatic insects. Input by species varies quite clearly. Blue and shades of blue are eucalyptus. Green and shades of green are different native species. So it's not surprising that the eucalyptus sites include eucalyptus litter, because I picked the sites. So that's not terribly surprising. Native sites do not include eucalyptus, just as it should be. The thing to notice here is a slight difference in litter fall dynamics. We're starting with the fall. So, as the name implies, that's when most of the action happens in native sites. Whereas in eucalyptus sites, most of the litter fall occurs during the summer. Eucalyptus have a sort of roughly year-round litter fall. There's another way to look at this, which is to look at it by composition, plant parts. How much of the total is leaves, how much of the total is bark. It's a little hard to see on this graph, so let's rescale it to 100%. So this is percent of total. And two things to notice. Dark gray are leaves, and you can see that in the native sites, leaves almost always comprise over 50% of the total weight. Whereas in the eucalyptus sites, they almost never do. But we've got bark in eucalyptus sites. The yellow is bark, which is not all that good of a substrate for aquatic insects. So those are differences in litter input. Let's now look at the litter composition in stream. Not too surprising, in this graph we're alternating eucalyptus site, native site, and you can tell that, for instance, by all these blue bars. Blue, again, is eucalyptus leaves. Eucalyptus sites include eucalyptus leaves in the stream. Not surprising. What is interesting is that most of the native sites do not include any eucalyptus material in the stream, even though all three native sites are located downstream of their respective eucalyptus sites. So you would expect that some litter would be transported downstream, but that's really not what we see. Another thing to notice here, at the very far end, these are the composition of our litter bags. So, and I just put them there for comparison, so you can tell that, I think we got it mostly right. Compared with the natural leaf packs, these are natural leaf packs, our litter bags are fairly similar. So now let's move on to benthic macroinvertebrates, the aquatic insects. First, we'll look at the resident insects. So we're comparing sites, eucalyptus sites versus native sites. A couple of people have already mentioned metrics. We're looking at three different ways of describing the community: species richness, a pollution tolerance score, and a diversity index. The thing to notice is they're not different. And that's why I put the box plots here. You can run the statistics, and that's, in fact, what the statistical test tell you. They're not different. Now let's look at the insects that colonized our two kinds of litter bags. So now, across the sites, let's just compare the two kinds of litter bags. Now, again, species richness, pollution tolerance score, and a diversity index. Do those graphs look different to you? Do you think there is a difference between that value and that value? That value and that value. I don't. But, regrettably, SigmaStat tells me otherwise. Differences are tiny. In fact, there are slightly more species in the native bags than in the eucalyptus bags. The pollution score is lower in native bags than in eucalyptus bags. And diversity index is higher in native bags than eucalyptus bags. But the differences are very, very small. There's a very large number of samples. There's over 320 samples here. And that's why we're getting this statistical significance. I don't think that there is a biological significance to this, and I'll show you why. We can use something called ordination, for those of you who don't do biology. Basically, we take our samples and let the computer organize the samples in the space so that the samples that are more similar in composition are closer together. Ideally, this is what we would see. All the samples from eucalyptus litter bags would cluster together, whether they come from native sites or eucalyptus sites, and all of the samples from the native litter bags would cluster together, again, regardless of where they come from. This would mean that, in fact, presence of eucalyptus litter has some strong effect on the macroinvertebrate assemblage. This is fake. This is real. Not so good. Okay. Well, we had three exposure periods. Maybe those exposure periods matter. We had three seasons. We tried it in winter, spring, and fall. Pa! Spring, fall, fall, and winter. So, when you do this sort of survey, it seems to matter. The time of year seems to be a factor that influences the composition of our macroinvertebrates to colonize the bags. We also did this in three different streams. You remember that pile of trash, Pinole Creek? That's what's showing up. Pinole Creek is the most degraded of the three. And again, the stream seems to have an effect. So, what we found, in other words, a recap, litter input differs. Litter in-stream composition differs. Resident insects really don't. Bag colonizers, in my opinion, are really not different between the eucalyptus bags and native bags. They do differ among the three streams, and they do differ with the three seasons we did it in. So why would this be? Well, I think the primary reason is that these eucalyptus sites are small, they're few, and they're patchy. And so it's sort of the opposite of a classic conservation biology problem where, you know, you have a patch of good habitat and a matrix of bad habitat. Well, here we have a patch of quote-unquote bad habitat and a matrix of native vegetation. So I don't think there's a whole lot that really these eucalyptus patches can do. There's one other thing that I want to leave you with, and there's a whole number of other factors. There's one thing I want to leave you with. The underlying idea here is that eucalyptus litter is unsuitable because it decays slower. It's harder to degrade, therefore insects will not do as well eating it. So this should have been the easiest slide in the world to make. This is the residual weight. When we pull up these bags, the weight of the litter remaining. And if our underlying dogma were correct, there would be a huge difference in eucalyptus bags and in native bags. Just like there is here, you would have much more weight remaining. In other words, eucalyptus would be decaying much slower. That's not what we see. In fact, this is the only place where there is a difference, and in the winter season, it's even worse. It's actually reversed. So I think our underlying theory might not be correct for California. I don't believe that, in fact, eucalyptus decays any slower than the native litter. So to finish up, I think what we need, in fact, are detailed studies in our local area so we get a better idea of how some of these dynamics play out in our ecosystem. So we don't have to rely on data from other parts of the world that really might not be applicable, and so that we don't have to rely on our own preconceptions, which also might not be accurate. Thank you. Yes, in the back.
So, just trying to like the irony of irony situation, but maybe a good way for you to get funny if you wanted to do more of this. What do you think, because you didn't see that seasonal effect, let's say the weather in the Bay Area gets, over time, the climate change gets dramatically altered. Is that a time that leaf litter might become more mature?
Perhaps. So in other words, if the timing of the flows were different. Yeah, maybe. I think what we're seeing in the seasonal effect is just regular phenology that I must admit I hadn't thought much about, but it's not revolutionary. Yes, there are different insect assemblages, different times of the year. With climate change, yeah, it's possible that then it would make a difference when that litter fall occurs. Yes.
I just want to make two comments. One is the social scientists, at least the political ecology variety, are adamant about paying attention to the socio-cultural economic system in which your particular phenomenon is embedded. And I think you've just made the same point with biophysical sciences. I'd also like to I think it raises issues about quantitative and qualitative methods. When you said something was statistically significant, not biologically significant, my oncologist said to me once there was a study and it had, you know, these incredible oysters, whatever, and he said, yeah, statistically significant, not medically significant. And so it really raises research methods questions that I think we need to grapple with.
Thank you for your comment. We have those two different ways of looking at it, and I was somewhat surprised that things didn't come out in ordination. But then, yeah, I actually went back and looked at the values, and that's when you see, yeah, you know, we have a lot of samples, so there's a statistical thing, but the difference is so tiny bit. Yes?
Yeah, I've got two questions about things that might be interesting to compare. One is, are there huge eucalyptus patches that are repairing that you could compare to these smaller patches? The second is, to what extent are the patterns you see here in terms of diversity native eucalyptus litter extremes compared to that you see in terrestrial litter ecosystems near these streams? Like, do you actually have reduced litter terrestrial insect
right.
litter insect diversity?
Let me answer the first one because I don't have to make up the answer to that. The first question was whether there are large riparian eucalyptus patches. No. You have to go to places like Spain, South Africa. There they do have them. But it's a very different setup. It's really eucalyptus plantations. And there the question was, should you retain native riparian, should you lose the native riparian? But the context is very different. The second question was difference in terrestrial litter organism diversity. There have been at least a few studies that have looked at that, and they've come down on sort of both sides. People can't agree on whether eucalyptus has an effect, doesn't have an effect. The problem is that it's hard to compare things. These are essentially dense eucalyptus groves. You'd have to compare it with a dense grove of a native vegetation. The question becomes, is it something magical about eucalyptus, or is it just the structure of the vegetation is such that we don't have a suitable comparison? So
that's actually about all we have time for, but before you get up to take a quick break before the faculty panel, maybe we'd like to say something, but first let's give Igor another hand.